Now, back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
It's a long lead in, but
yeah, it's pretty cool though. It takes me a minute. I get it now. I know what it is, but it takes me a moment.
Turn up the lava lamp.
Well, I know. Now you're talking. There we go. The payoff.
Big winner in the song, Motown.
Oh, yeah.
Because this is an old Temptation song.
Yep.
And Rare Earth was signed by Motown. So they did a cover of a Motown song for Motown.
And made money for Motown.
Yeah. If you're going to compete, compete against yourself. But this is a great version.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Nothing against the Temps version. But man, that bass, oh. Loving you're gonna miss, and the time it takes to find. Old school, baby. Old school.
I love it. And you know what? We are getting ready, slowly but surely, reopening. Some more things coming up in the future that are looking at reopening. Hotels, beds and breakfast. I mean, slowly but surely, we're getting things back to normal.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm just, you know, I am so over this. But
I know.
You know.
I know. I know, but some things do need to come back slow, but it's good to know that almost every day things are coming back to life.
So now that they've trained us.
Well, and that was part of it.
Well, yeah, okay. So now that they've trained us, if in fact this materializes again in the fall, and commingles with this year's version of the regular flu.
Right.
Are we going to do this again? So we're going to do the mask and the whole blah, blah, blah.
I think we may social distance. Not sure about masks. I don't think we're going to have stay at home. I think we're going to have been trained by that.
Okay.
At you know, getting it done. But we learn as we go. And joining us here this morning from LRG Healthcare, CEO and President Kevin Donovan, Chief Medical Officer Dr. Fred Jones, and Chief of the Nurses Terry Champagne. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
All right. So have we officially gone into sort of a next phase at LRG Healthcare in getting things back to as normal as possibly we can?
We are, Pat. So we are slowly and thoughtfully starting to roll out and reopen services that were closed temporarily about a month or month and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so we this week started bringing back some of the procedural areas, and Terry can talk about how that's gone. But, yes, we've started to open some of the procedural stuff, and over the next 4 weeks, on a weekly basis, we will bring back a blend of primary care practices, specialty care practices, and hospital departments. And we will do that over that period of time. And the goal is by the end of June or beginning of July that we will have most, if not all, of the services back and functioning.
All right. That is tremendously exciting, but I know you have to do so in a different kind of vein. Let's talk about how it's been going so far as we start to kind of open up elective surgery. And Terry, how have things been going? How have things changed from before?
So things are very different, as you might imagine. So we are putting in a lot of safety precautions in, you know, looking to the experts who are recommending, you know, safe practices for bringing staff back, bringing patients in, social distancing, you know, who we are testing, who are not testing, mm-hmm. making sure everyone has enough personal protective equipment so that everyone stays safe. You know, we're still not allowing visitors within the hospital for everyone's safety.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a slow start, but we certainly, you know, patients are enthusiastic about the fact that we are now, you know, rescheduling time-sensitive, you know, procedures.
Right,
and
right.
They're excited about coming in. And the feedback that I've gotten this week, this was the first week that we started some of those procedures,
uh-huh.
has been very positive. Patients feel safe. They appreciate, you know, all the things that we're doing. We're keeping people, you know, separate, and it's been going very well.
Oh,
and
that,
we appreciate
that,
the support.
That is so wonderful to be getting that feedback, because in addition to all the obvious stuff that you have to deal with and keeping things clean and safe and separated, you're dealing with that unknown, that thing you can't see, the fear that people might have of coming in. So to get the positive feedback about feeling safe and feeling clean is wonderful.
Yes, it has been. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, and again, a thing you're going to strive for as things loosen up a little bit and people realize, okay, I can go for that procedure now. I can go for that particular checkup right now that was a specialized move, so I had to wait, but now I can move forward and get it done.
Correct.
All right. And again, it's I think people we're almost getting used to social distancing. I know there are some that speak out against it, but we're all kind of getting used to doing it. So seeing it in practice is going to be a great thing when people come back, Kevin.
Right, that's right. And I think, you know, all of us are struggling with certain components of social distancing, and
mm-hmm.
certain components of social distancing are probably here to stay. And, that, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. And I think as we've adjusted to new normals in our departments and in our practices, that, you know, there have been some positives to that. And, you know, one of the positives has been the use of telemedicine, and Dr. Jones and his colleagues have been using a lot of telemedicine to treat patients who, you know, maybe in the future will continue to do a little bit of it that way.
Wow. Dr. Jones, tell me about how that, again, because even though it's not a new thing, it's kind of a new thing.
So it's been something that's been growing for a while, and the needs to control the spread of this infection pushed it ahead farther and faster.
Right.
So I guess a decent example is if you look at well-child visits, if a child needs a vaccination or something like that, sure, we can bring them in and do that safely.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not a vaccination visit, there's been no sick complaints, perhaps that visit can be done versus telehealth, because we still need to try to keep the number of people close together, or the number of people, healthy people coming into potential contact with sick people,
mm-hmm.
down. So we're looking very thoughtfully at how we're scheduling what kind of visits and trying to figure out what we can do to minimize risk to our patients.
Nice.
As well as the need for protective equipment for those visits.
Well, and I'm sure that that's going to be a fluid situation, too, because as the numbers get a little bit better that we hear about, as the hospitalizations come down from the coronavirus, we can make adjustments and open up a little bit more as we move on.
Absolutely. We can and we will, because it's kind of this ongoing balance of equation of risk, mm-hmm. and benefit to doing anything.
Right.
We've had pretty good feedback from our patients that we have done telehealth visits with. I suspect more of that is going to stick around throughout this, mostly for the convenience of the patients,
sure.
and their satisfaction,
mm-hmm.
As we get better experience with what we can do well. You know, nobody wants to impair the quality of care for the convenience of telehealth, Mm-hmm. But if we can provide the same quality service in a more convenient fashion for our patients, absolutely, we're going to look at that. And we are, however, if somebody's uncomfortable with telehealth or it's a problem that can't be done by that, we have the equipment, we have the policies and plans in place. We can take care of people in the offices or in the emergency room safely.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's and again, and that is the ultimate, because if I've got a pain in my side and you really need to be touching it and seeing my real reaction, then yes, okay, I need to come in and be seen by somebody.
Absolutely. And we can do that safely for the patients and safely for the staff.
That's great. Now, what kind of elective procedures have we been performing, and are there any on the list of we can't do that just yet?
So we pretty much have been doing, like, most of the, like I said, the time-sensitive things. Mm-hmm. For example, a patient that may have needed has been scheduled for a biopsy, you know, and or like a follow-up that, you know, had a, you know, a bladder tumor or something and not, now need to follow up to see if that had come back. So those kind of procedures, you know, we're looking to, we've been starting to do and book.
Great.
But we're also booking some elective total joints, mm-hmm. you know, into June now.
Okay.
And so we have, you know, a plan to cohort those. We're testing our patients before they come. We're making sure that the staff has been tested. We're making sure that we're not cohorting, you know, patients that are patients on units where there are no COVID positive patients.
Right.
So there's a lot of safety things in place to make sure that as those elective procedures get on the schedule, that we're doing everything possible to keep both our patients and our staff safe.
Right. And you've had to do that, but also maintain an area that if there is some kind of spike in coronavirus, we're able to handle it.
That's correct.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's kind of a juggling act that you almost have to look at every day.
We are looking at it every day, actually. We, you know, we have our incident command center. We look at the statistics every day. We look at our burn rate of PPE every day,
mm-hmm.
like how, and we look at how much we're able to, you know, get in. You know, now as all the other businesses around the state start opening up and now are requiring all this PPE, we're going to have to keep a close eye on that to make sure
right.
we have enough of this safety mm-hmm. equipment available for our staff and patients to stay safe.
Yes, I know, and everybody's going to want to make sure that we're prepared should something like this come about again, just because it felt for a while like we were unprepared.
Right.
Yeah. Although we were prepared and everybody shifted into high gear as soon as we needed to, but it was on people's mind.
Right.
Now, Kevin, let me ask this. Is getting more things going on in both Franklin and Laconia, does that help to bring the numbers of people that were affected by the furlough? Does that put a dent in that at all?
That's a great question, Pat, and the answer is yes. So we brought back, I think, approximately 50 people to support some of the procedural areas, and then there's probably another 50 or so who came back in some of the outpatient practice areas. And
right.
so where we furloughed, 500 full-time equivalent positions, which impacted 600 people,
mm-hmm.
you know, the hope is that by the, you know, early part of June, that many, if not all of those people will be back.
Yeah.
I mean, there are certainly challenges that we as a society are dealing with now. For example, that, you know, we have some working mothers who, you know, work here at the hospital, but now they're homeschooling their children.
Right, and they have no child care, right.
And they have no child care.
Right.
Or, you know, I say mothers, also fathers, too, as a father of four children.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's you know, there's a lot of new responsibilities outside the workplace, and that has been a challenge for some people who want to come back.
Right.
And so, you know, I do know, speaking with our colleagues across the state, that we, you know, there was a workforce shortage before
mm-hmm.
COVID-19, and it's been made worse by COVID-19 because there are some people who either can't work or because of health issues, or they can't work because of childcare, or, you know, other things. So it's going to be something that we will need to monitor moving forward, because we need to make sure that we have the appropriate blend of staff and the appropriate amount of staff moving forward.
Absolutely. And again, as things come back into the fold, shall we say, you're going to see the schedules increase for the procedures and get back to, again, what it may have been beforehand.
Yeah, that is right. And, you know, so even in some of the surgical practices that we brought back last week to start booking some of the procedural stuff, you know, we made really kind of estimates on, you know, how much volume or demand, for lack of a better term, there would be from a patient perspective.
Right. And, yeah, because you went from 0 to 60 in okay, we got nobody in right now. Let's see how many we're going to get. I get it.
Correct. And it's been the good news is that people want to be seen and that our care providers want to see them. And so that has been, you know, that has been positive.
All right. But we are going to be Dr. Jones. We are going to be looking at data as things continue to get a little busier there and things start to open up a little bit more and the rest of the economy opens up. You'll be looking at the data again on a daily basis.
Absolutely, to make sure that we have the capacity to meet the community need, and as well as to make sure that the demands of the pandemic don't mean we've got to limit things again.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be something we're going to have to do all the time. It requires monitoring the data and a certain amount of flexibility on the part of our providers and staff who have been great working in unusual circumstances over the last 6 weeks or so. So a big shout out to them, and we appreciate their dedication and flexibility to doing that as well.
Yeah, and again, but I think you're right. We don't want to have to put it in reverse again.
No.
Yeah. If we can avoid that, that'd be a great thing. Well, thank you to all the doctors, Dr. Jones, Terry Champagne. Thank you to all in the nursing community. And Kevin Donovan, thank you for everything that LRG Healthcare continues to do for both the employees and the people of the Lakes region. Please feel free to reach out because, you know, we want to get the word out there because nobody likes not knowing what's going on.
Okay, great. Well, we you're welcome for that. Thank you. But we also want to thank the community of the Lakes and Three Rivers regions for sticking with us and for trusting us with their local care. And we're just as excited as they are to start bringing services back. And the community has been overwhelmingly supportive of us in so many ways. And it's been just great to see. And our healthcare heroes who are working on the front lines, you know, nurses and techs and administrative folks. So never mind the medical staff. So it's been great.
I know. It is good. And thank you to all that are involved. And again, as we continue to open up, we are going to be there for you like you guys are there for us. Thank you all so much this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. Love keeping updated. All right. On the way, more of Good Morning New Hampshire. It's only Monday. We've got more time coming up on 107.7 The Pulse.